throne of grace tonight, we approach it again as one in need. Humble us at thy pierced feet, and may thy mercies follow us throughout this night, this service, and the services of tomorrow, the services during the week. Bless Brother AJ. We thank you for him, and that thou will lead him and guide him in the services here Wednesday night, in whatever way that you lead him, and bless him and his wife and all the workers in about the camp, every worker in the storehouse, in the office. Our blessed Lord, we rest him at thy feet, as we've done hundreds of times since you've put us into the ministry here. And because we know that if there's any bitterness or anything in any one heart, any jealousy, any critical spirit, you'll not be pleased with it. And our Father, but it would be that disunity here, but I praise thee how thou art working in all of our hearts, in searching our hearts. Keep us humble. May the Lord Jesus Christ be exalted above all, in us all. And blessed Lord Jesus, we trust thee tonight again for this service and for every individual in this assembly out in Radio Land, that thou will lead them and guide them, especially those that are sick. And again, we bring to thee, Brother Willie. We thank you for and bless his heart tonight, comfort his heart and his people. And Lord Jesus, in all the services of tomorrow, and we'll give thee all the praise and honor and glory. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen. Now, in case anyone's interested here tonight, there will be a funeral services. They have wake services for Brother Willie's mother tonight. And that's from 5 to 12. And then tomorrow morning again at 8 o'clock until funeral time. And if you're interested, the body is laid out at Hollaback Spindle Funeral Home. It's a half a mile east of Denham Springs on Highway 190 going towards Hammond. And there will be services at the funeral home at 2:30, and then at the church at 3 o'clock. And the church is the Judson Baptist Church. So if you're interested, if you want to go, if I had not already planned this trip, I would be up there tomorrow myself, just in the interest of the church here. Did we send an offering, a wreath or something? Well, I'm going to give this notice to Ms. Wileen. Will you take care of this and see that a wreath is sent up there from here in the name of the church? Appreciate that. Thank you. And I'll give you the address here. It's the Hollaback Spindle Funeral Home. And Brother Kaufman, do you know where that's at?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Good. All right. Well, now, I want us to talk a little bit tonight. I won't keep you too long. I always say that sometime I go longer than I really want to. But we're going to talk a little bit about self-denial tonight. Self-denial. And we're going to begin in Matthew, the fourth chapter. The fourth chapter of Matthew. You hold your Bible in your hands and turn with us to the scriptures and read some scriptures related to self-denial. Now, the world doesn't know as a whole what it means to be a self-denying one, or you talk about self-denial. People denying themselves of this and that, because every individual is self-centered before God ever saves them. And then after he saves them, they become self-centered, self-denying ones. Now, in Matthew, the fourth chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ gives an illustration here of self-denial. And you know that story. You probably read it many times. And we begin with that seventh verse. Well, he's being tempted here by Satan. Well, let's begin a little up a little bit here in the second verse of the fourth chapter of Matthew. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him up on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test, or thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, or thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test." Don't tempt him. Again the devil taking him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Now here the Lord Jesus Christ gives us an example of self-denying. He denied himself of all the world had to offer. Then said Jesus unto him, "Begone, Satan, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. How many times have you and I been tempted by the world? How have been tempted by the flesh? To lead us away from a life of self-denial. Our Lord set an example. Do you know that this world is under the curse? Is under the judgment curse of God? Who wants a world like this? Do you? Do you thrive? And you're building your hopes upon this world here? This world is going to fade away and all the fashions of with it. And then our Lord sets that example here to us. If he did that, if he denied himself, and to him, as the devil tempted him and said, took him up there on the top of the temple and showed him the whole kingdom of this world. Now, what would you and I give in exchange for our souls for this world? It's not worth it. And then if we turn to Philippians, we're just starting here in Philippians, the second chapter. Our blessed Lord denied himself of any honor, any glory in this chapter. He did not make of himself of no reputation. He denied himself of that. What did he say there? Let this mind, in that fifth verse, let this mind be in you, in the second chapter of Philippians, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he was God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, being found in fashion, as that eighth verse tells us, as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, that's what you call self-denying. A self-denying one denied himself of all the praise and the honor and all the glory, stripped himself of all his kingly robes, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself as a servant. Now that's self-denial, denying himself of all that glory. And then there's the denying of ungodliness and worldly lust. If you turn to Romans, the sixth chapter, you'll find there the Apostle Paul speaking. In the sixth chapter, the 12th verse, he tells us, he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in its lust. And then if you go back to the 11th verse, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Now there's sin in our body, in our flesh, but do not let it reign or have the supremacy. Deny yourself. Deny its lust, its cravings. Quench its appetite, that ye should obey it in the lust, neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. You say, how can I do that? Only by the grace of God. How can the believer do that? Only by the grace of God, yielding your bodies unto the Holy Spirit as instruments of righteousness and not unrighteousness. Not craving for the things to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Always craving, desiring after. Reckon yourself dead to those things, he says, to sin. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under the law, but under grace. Now, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Now, I know there's lots of folks that just don't care to hear things like this. You talk about worldly lust, you talk about ungodliness, and they don't know what you're talking about. But you and I, who have been taught by the Spirit of God, by the grace of God, we come to know what he tells us about ungodliness, which means it's not godlike, but ungodlike, and worldly lust, craving. There was a time in our hearts and our lives that we used to crave after worldly lust. We love the pleasures of the world. We love the lusts of the world. We love the sins of the world. But now, since grace reigns, sin should not be permitted to reign again in that life of you and I. And I've come to find out through the years, as you yield yourself to the Lord as his child, you more and more sin, its power is broken over you day by day. The lust, the appetites, the cravings, the love of pleasures and things like that. Because that's all displeasing unto the Lord. How can you and I yield our bodies as living sacrifice unto the Lord if we yield our bodies to lust and to sin and to the pleasures of this life? You can't do it. You cannot do it. So denying on God and deny yourself. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow him. That's what he wants us to do. Deny this craving. Deny this pleasure. There might be some pleasures that don't have any harm in it at all. But deny yourself even of those things, that you might find yourself more and more in the deepness of our Lord, in a surrendered life. Now I know there come times for relaxation. We like to get away and rest, and that's fine. And that is commendable if you're able to do it. But then there is that rest in the Lord Jesus Christ when you deny yourself of these things of the world and they've lost your attraction. And God, the Holy Spirit, has conquered them in your heart and life. And there's no desire after them. You don't care about them. And you praise him. You look around for it. What happened to it? It's gone. The Holy Spirit has broken the power of it in your life. And that's where your joy and your happiness come in. That's why we often say you don't have to have the pleasures of this life to enjoy life. You do not. You don't. You don't have to live like the ungodly out there to enjoy life. Those things are excluded from you. You don't care about them. You're enjoying your life in Christ. You're thinking about his mercies. You're thinking about your heavenly home. You're thinking about that new body God's going to give you one day. You think about that great salvation. You know, you don't have time to look into that salvation if you look around you and live for the world and live like the world. The Apostle Paul tells us to look into that salvation. Look at it. Just look at it. Let it unfold before you. Look into it and find out all that we have in Christ. Be taken up with those things. And then the things of this world will lose its attraction for you and I. And that's what the Lord wants, to form here a people looking to him, enjoying him, and living a rich life in Christ. And this next statement is a statement of facts here that comes home to my heart. I don't know why I've been dwelling so much upon it and why I'm conscious of it and how it may have slowed me and how it has hindered me from maybe carrying on like I ought to in this work. But you know, Proverbs 23:2 tells us about our appetites, our heavy appetites. Now, many of us have good appetites, and I have a good one, and I love to eat, and I just don't know when to stop sometime. But you know, Proverbs 23:2 tells us, you ever read that? And put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Now that doesn't mean to slip your throat, slit it. But that means to put a halt to our eating and our overindulgence in food and things that will hinder this body, that will sicken this body, that will slow down this body, and will not keep us at our best. Now, I heard a good message. I don't know where I was going. I was going somewhere up the line. And I heard someone bring a message along the line of our appetite. How you and I can displease our Lord by not denying ourselves things that will do good for us. Overindulgence in food and hearty foods, and we got a good appetite, and we'll eat. Instead of limiting ourselves. Now, will this indulgence hinder me? Can I be at my best for my Lord? I know when I used to go to the missions in Picayune, they would throw everything out before me at the supper table just before the preaching service until the time came I had to tell them to stop. I had to deny myself in that respect, become a self-denying one as far as my appetite is concerned, that I may not hinder this body that the Holy Spirit indwells, that he may use it in a way that will be strong and strengthened by his power, that I'm able to preach and to teach and to move. And I've been aware of my appetite in the last few months. I'm gaining weight, and I'm having a struggle to keep it down. But I believe one day the Lord is going to give me grace over the situation. But I've got to learn to deny this, become a self-denying one, if I want to keep this body healthy for the Lord. And we can overindulge in anything and hinder these bodies, whereby the Holy Spirit can use them for his glory. Now, there's nothing wrong in eating, but I've got to learn to eat sensibly. I have. And not overindulge. But let's put a knife to our appetites if need be. And our appetites won't be so craving so much. Limit ourselves. Take care of these bodies for the glory of the Lord. And that's true. Now, we are told to abstain from worldly lust. 1 Peter 2:11 tells us, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims," or sojourners and pilgrims, "to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." Now, that has to do with our reading habits. Your reading habits, my reading habits, our eyes. What do we feed our eyes upon and see? Abstain from worldly lust. I've got to know what to read and what not to read, what to look at and what not to look at. Because the flesh is always present with us. Sin is always present with us. And the Apostle Paul said, "What the things that I would love to do is seemingly I cannot do it." Sin is always present with us. But there is the power that God gives us to abstain from it, to know what to read, what not to read. I know I have when I was over at work, now they thought so much of me as being a Christian over there because they've watched my life. And I tell you, they watched it like an eagle. And I've had to be careful how I walked before them. I knew I couldn't do it my own strength, with my own resources. I had to lean heavily upon my Lord to give me the grace. And I know there was a certain piece of literature that that I happened to pick up, and I was about to read it, and someone came by there and grabbed out of my hand, "You don't want to read that." I didn't know what it was. I thought it was just something pertaining to the work or just something. And grabbed out of my hand and said, "You don't want to read that." Come to find out, it was a lustful story. I said, "Thank you. Thank you very much." He said, "I knew you wouldn't want to read it." And that's the way they thought about me over there. I wonder how many of us feed upon all types of medium, the newspaper. Or if you have a TV, you're constantly looking at all those awful stories upon the TV and feeding upon the world, feeding upon the lust of the flesh. A person will not go to a movie. Oh, they'll ban the movie. And they'll say all manners of things against the movie. Oh, and all the things they show on the screen. And they'll pacify themselves, or they'll justify themselves, and they'll bring a big TV in their home. They'll sit behind that TV. If they've never learned to adjust themselves to it, I don't put my stamp of approval upon them. And I don't condemn the thing. I'm just saying that individuals who call themselves Christians, born-again believers, if they could sit there constantly and feed upon that lust, the lust of the world, upon all that beer drinking and cigarette smoking, those things that defile the flesh. And the Apostle Paul says, "Yield not yourself unto the flesh, or lest you die, but yield yourselves, your members, unto the Spirit, and then you shall live." You see? It's to whomsoever you yield yourself to. They're the ones that's your God. That's your Savior. And we've got to learn how to yield our members as believers to those things that will glorify the Lord and that will edify our life and the lives of others around us. Not to live for self, that self-denial God's speaking of. Now, I deny myself many things at my work, but it paid off. God blessed it. I never regret it. And if you talk to them, they could tell you all kind of things. But there's one thing that they'll say, "You know, he was different. He was different, not because of me, but because of the grace of God working in us, the Spirit of God." So he says, tells us not to dearly beloved. Now he's talking to his people there. He's talking to born-again believers here. "I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, as sojourners and pilgrims, to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Oh, I know it does. I've experienced it. But that wars against the soul. That mars the vision. I'm telling you, and you grieve over it so much. What have I done? Why have I yielded this member? Think about how David brought this grace to himself and to the Lord God of glory because of yielding himself unto that heavy appetite, that lust that he had, at those cravings and those desires. But they're all examples to us that we shouldn't do that. There's no need for us to do that, because God has given us the grace and the power that's needed to resist. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Now, let me tell you something. He'll never would have told you to resist the devil if he'd never would have given you the power to resist him with, by the Holy Spirit. And you've got the Word of God to resist the powers. So abstain yourselves from lustly. That means become a self-denying one. Self-denying, denying ourselves and following Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ there, he didn't bow down to all the whims of Satan there. So don't tempt the Lord thy God. Get thee behind me, Satan. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law to serve it, but under grace to flee it. And praise the Lord. So we should live to the will of God and not to the lust of men. And you find that also in 1 Peter, if you turn over with us. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, the 1st and 2nd verses. Look what it says there. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Our blessed Lord left us a precious story along that line. He suffered in the flesh. Temptations all around him. But yet he denied himself. And that's the reason why he was able to tell his followers, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And Christ gave, he left us an example that he was a self-denying one down here. We are to deny ourselves and deny the world that we might follow Christ and enjoy him. So that's what he says. For he had suffered in the flesh, had ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Not to every turn of the road, we've got to fall into this and fall into that. And men will put up this this standard for you to live by and to enjoy. We're not to follow after the whims and the will of men. But God has left us a standard to live by, and that's the word of God. He puts that up before us. He says, live it, my child. You can. By the grace of God, you and I can. So we should live to the will of God and not to the lust of men. We are not to encourage sin in our life, but we are told to mortify sinful lust. Put it to death. Like one old divine said, put a nail in it and nail it. Crucify it. I like to think about that. I read that a long time ago. Never forgotten about it. And oh, I was struggling with sin. I was struggling with some lust. And oh, my prayer was at work and on the street and in the cafeteria. Lord, crucify this lust. Put it to death. Give me grace to put a nail in it and crucify it. Crucify it. Sojourners and strangers. So we are not to encourage sin in our life, not to feed it. Not to feed it, but starve it. Starve it. Starve it. Through the word of God, by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God. Starve it. The desires are there. After a while, you find out those desires are gone. Those cravings are there. After a while, you find out that craving is gone. The lust is there. After a while, you'll find out that the power of God is breaking that lust in our life by his power. Let me tell you, God's word is power. And nothing could stand before its power, its force. He's able to subdue all things by his power. I don't know what sin you're struggling with, but I can tell you that he can subdue that sin with his power. He tells us in his word. He can subdue all things, all lust, all pleasures in our hearts and lives with his power. All that impatientness, all of that prejudice and jealousy, he can subdue with his power. It's not a reformation, it's a transformation. Colossians, the third chapter. Turn to the third chapter of Colossians. And that's a wonderful, some wonderful thoughts there for your heart and my heart. If you want to be encouraged in the Lord, and where we should feast on, and where we should look to. Look at that third chapter, the first verse. If ye then be risen with Christ. Now he's talking to those who say they're saved here. If you tell me that you're saved and that you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now that's just as natural as can be. A person's not saved, he don't seek those things above. Now you don't. I know the awakened sinner, he wants to know Christ. They want to know Christ, and they're seeking him. They want to know him. But the individual is not awakened. They don't care about seeking Christ, do they? Huh? Well, that's just as well as a believer who tells me they're saved. And he's craving after the things of this world, the lust of this world. And he finds his satisfaction running here and there, doing this and doing that. And that's the only thing that satisfies him. He's not satisfied with the Lord. He says there, if ye, then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Let's talk about them. You see? Let's talk about those things above. Let's read about them. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And you'll know that if you're saved, as where he is. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Don't set our affections down here. Don't do that. He don't want us to do that. Don't set our affections down here upon this earth. Set your affections on things above. For ye are dead. Now, we've got to reckon ourselves as dead to this earth. Dead to these affections, these lusts, these things around us. We've been crucified with Christ. But we live. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. You see? So we set our affections upon him, upon those things above. For ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That doesn't mean we're not going to sin, but it's where your affections are. A lot of people set their affections upon money, upon homes, and upon families and parents and things like that. Their affections, when they're taken away from them, they're gone too. But set our affections upon things above. And look at that other one. For ye are dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Suppose if Christ appeared to us tonight. Suppose if he comes for his own tonight. Where are your affections? Would you be sorry to go? Would you be sorry of leaving others behind? Or would your affections be so clinging unto them until you're hesitant about wanting to go? Or you might have some plans that haven't developed and you long to see them developed. I haven't any plans. I say I'm going to all of tomorrow, but I always say, if the Lord willing, he may come back tonight. Do you know that? And then it's those that look for him the second time that he's going to appear to, you know, for his second coming. It's those individuals looking for him. Not trying to look to see what they can get out the world. Or set your affections upon your money in the bank or wherever it might be. But you've got your affections upon things above. My Lord is coming back. And he may come back tonight. He may come back 20 years from now. But I'm looking for him. If I live to...
20 years more, I'll be looking for the coming of my Lord. He is my affection. You see? He's the object of my affection. Is he yours? Do you know Christ? Are you looking for him? Is your heart so set upon him that you've lost sight of everything else? Lord, I want you. Lord, deliver me from myself. Deliver me from all of this power, all of this evil, all of this this self-centeredness. Deliver me from all of it. And then the fifth verse, it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Now what are they? Fornication. Fornication. Mortify fornication. Uncleanness. Inordinate affection. All types of sin. Mortify them. Inordinate affections. Wickedness. Evil desire. Mortify them. Lord, take it. Lord, deliver me from its power. Lord, break its power. I know you've given me victory over it in Christ, and I know that I'm not under its dominion anymore and its guilt, but Lord Jesus, deliver me from its habits, from its practices, you see? Deliver me from it. Break it. And that's a daily, daily crucifying of the flesh. A daily deliverance from its power. You see? For which things sake the wrath of God coming on the sons of disobedience. Those who practice it. Those who have no control over it. Those who cannot control it. Those who go ahead haywire into it. Denying nothing of the flesh. But feeding upon it all of its lust. The wrath of God is resting upon that individual. God hates sin. We are called upon not to please ourselves, but we are encouraged to help others who are less fortunate than we are. Deny ourselves. And that's what the Lord wants to establish here. A self-denying people. And not only care for ourselves and for our home and for our families, but to think about others. As we've been telling you in the last few weeks, about the storehouse, about the need of others who need our help. We need to be self-denying ones. And I believe that the Lord is teaching us that. Not to be taken up with our own needs, but also the need of others. Yes, the ones that are less fortunate. And then I'm closing with this last thought. If we are to be saved, we must learn to deny self in relationship to those who would hinder us from coming to Christ. Now, you awaken sinners here and out in radio land where this tape is being played. And before you ever get saved, you have to learn to deny self and take up your cross and follow the Lord. You are asked to deny yourself in relationship to those who would hinder you from coming to Christ, whether it's your mother or whether it's your relatives, your friends, or whatever it might be. You've got to deny your love for them in preference to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, to take up your cross and follow him. That's what he means there. You become a self-denying one. You live a self-denying life after he saves you. And then it tells you there where the Lord, the highly exalted, God highly exalted the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given him a name above every name. And do you know there's a new name waiting in glory for every child of God? Huh? A new name. Yes, our blessed Lord upon this earth, his name was smeared in the dust. And the gutter, like it is today, is used in profanity. And you've got to learn to deny yourself in that, the use of that name. In the way you use that name, in the reverence of that name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus. But although he had trouble with them down here in the flesh, he yielded to none of their devices. And none of the temptations of Satan. He fought them off. And then at the end, God took him back up to glory and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess, whether it's in heaven or earth or below, or doesn't matter where it is, and confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. They may call him a lowly Nazarene here, but by golly, he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings up yonder. And we see that, we reverence him as such. We adore him and praise him for the position he occupies. And we say, oh, glory and honor and all majesty be given unto him. But one day he is going to give us a new name. I wonder what that name's going to be. I can only think about a sinner redeemed by grace. You know, I don't know. Just a sinner redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what name he's going to give me. He said a new name. We thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for listening in over the tape with us. And may the blessings of our Lord rest upon you. May you begin to recognize tonight, here out in Radio Land, that the Lord calls upon you and I for self-denial, denying self, crucifying the flesh, driving a nail into our sins, as it were, feeding the new nature, the new man, the spirit, in obedience to the command of God, who gives the command and gives the power. And may it all display itself in our hearts and lives to the glory of our precious Lord. So let's turn to the Lord tonight and see your need, if you don't know him, to see your need of Christ, and as his child, see our need to walk with him through this world, this wilderness. And then one day, we'll be like Enoch. We'll walk home with him. God took him. God may take you or I tomorrow morning or tonight. Where is he? God took him. You see? God took him. Where is Enoch? God took him. Where is so-and-so? God took him. God took our late pastor. One day he's going to take me. He's going to take you. Are you ready for him? Are you ready to go meet him? Are you? You can be even tonight. Even tonight, if you come to him, if you come to him, he says, I will in no wise cast out. Our precious Lord, tonight, we thank you for your word, your words of encouragement, exhortation, words of comfort, words of rejoicing that has come to our hearts tonight. And that we can relay it and teach it to others. How you teach us. And blessed Lord, that it may be for the edification of the saints, to the honor and the praise and the glory of our Lord, and that all our life will be to the praise of thy glory, who called us and saved us, and now we are being kept by thy power until you take us home. Lead us and keep us. For Christ's sake, in his name we pray and ask it. Amen.